Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa. Remember me? I'm back. I took the whole summer off and I haven't been back with a new episode since last May, the end of May. And I'm really psyched to be back here. Thanks for listening. You know, I'm a self-proclaimed psychotherapist. We know this, right? And I have a great show today. It's nice out. I'm going to tell you just a minute about what I did this summer, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about let's brag about Radio Free Brooklyn first. I'll get that out of the way, okay? Because I've got a great show, and I've got great guests, and I had a great summer. So just bear with me, because you already know we're poor. We need your money, okay? And we do a great job here. We do a really good service. This station is like one of, I know I'm prejudiced, but it really is an authentic group of people who are actually doing something worthwhile for society in every way. Music, talk, sports, comedy. We're like so inclusive. We anyone can pitch a show, actually. So if you want to do that. But first, go to radiofreebrooklyn.org, check us out, join the mailing list, and send us some money, any money, just to make us feel like, you know, that we're, to encourage us. We need the encouragement. Okay. I'm going to tell you who's on my show today. My show is two members of this brand new, I just found out they're a brand new art collective called Yay Man Spa Global. And the two guys are Seth Cerante and Patrick Bailey. But I'm going to get to them in a second. And they're really cute. I'm so excited that I have these really two young, handsome men in front of me here. But I just want to tell you a second about my summer, because I had a major event this summer. I went to Togo, and most people don't even know what Togo is. It's a small country in Africa, West Africa. And I was invited to perform there, and I went there, and I was part of this group of performance artists with my husband and one of my best friends, Dallas. And we hung out with these artists from all over the world, and a lot of Africans. And I learned so much, and I'm so impressed by the professionalism of the festival, the Imome Festival, run by Sankara, who is like incredible. He does his festival every year. He organizes it with people from all over the world. And I got to do my performance where I'm a grandma dressed like a typical American grandma, gray wig and, house dress. And I rock people in my lap and give them unconditional love. And I can't tell you how satisfying it was to rock people from Togo, Lomé. That's a capital. That's where I was. On my lap and tell them how much grandma loves them. It was a once in a lifetime, folks. Okay, so let's get on to what we're doing here, the business at hand. So I was a curator recently at Spring Break Art Fair. If you don't know what Spring Break Art Fair is, you really fucking should, and look it up, okay? Do your own research. It's a very radical art fair that's been happening once a year for the past 12 years, run by Amber Kelly and Andrew Gorey. I could go on, but you know what? If you don't know about it, it's really kind of, it's the most creative of all the art fairs. If you don't know or you don't care, I can't help you. Okay. I just can't. But anyway, I had the great good fortune of meeting these people who were doing this very, I thought, pretty fucking interesting, pretty radical, actually. I thought it was pretty radical in the world of art, radical's overused, but they were doing this thing called fuck stories. And they had all these office cubicles, a whole warren of them set up with actual red phones, you know, like from the old days. And visitors would come and they'd pick up a phone and they would hear a really dirty sex story that they had solicited from the public via posters around the city. I think I might have described that okay. Did I do okay? Was that pretty good? So anyway, I found out today that they only met like a month before the fair, and it's really impressive that they got this whole thing together, and I think they're getting to know each other a little bit, and I'm just getting to know them right now. So what I'm going to do is turn it over to them and have them explain what the project was. Or add to it. Did I say it? Do you have anything to add to that? I just want people to understand what the project was. Tell me a little bit about soliciting the, I told them the logistics. Tell me a little bit about soliciting what you went through to get the stories, and tell me a little bit about that part, the getting up of the stories.
Sure. So we came up with the idea to do these sex stories, and we're kind of worried about how we were going to get them. And then we decided to film some Instagram promo videos and put up these wheat pastes. But our Instagram was like brand new. I think we had like 10 followers and it was just the people in the collective. So, though we did get some stories from Instagram, right?
Yeah, we did.
And then, in the group, Devin Cronin, made up these like really beautiful posters, and just we printed off like 250 of them and just made up a batch of wheat paste, met up at the bar, spread out around mostly the Lower East Side and Soho, and then I think maybe a couple of them made it into Brooklyn or Queens too.
Okay, so basically you put up these, it says fuck stories. You can see the posters. I'll put it up. It says fuck stories, and you were soliciting these stories. The poster explained it. But what would happen is that would go to, they would call a number, and the story would be recorded. And then what you did was you put that through AI so the voice wouldn't be.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want you guys to know that that handsome, that sexy voice, that was Patrick, okay? Just so you know who Patrick and Seth is. So Seth, tell me a little bit about the content of the stories that you got.
The stories range from like completely vanilla, boring, lame, to like the most raunchy, disgusting stuff that you like really would never tell anybody else unless you knew it was anonymous or like they signed an NDA. And so my favorite is really a story that came from the South. I don't know how it made its way up here.
The South, where?
Like the South of America.
How do you know that?
Because they said it in the story.
Okay.
Yeah, right, the person who called in, so it was actually my Google Voice number, so I was receiving all the calls and the transcripts, and I got to listen to the real voices. But for this particular story, the person called in with a voice modulator, so I wouldn't be able to tell who it was, even if I wanted to. And yeah, essentially.
Well, what did they say? Come on, tell us the really gritty
stuff. This one was really good because this person was excited to talk about how their small town in Southern America, the Southern United States, I mean, is like filled with swingers and their family is totally okay with swingers. And this person happened to be a male and was at a family party with his male cousins and his girlfriend. And his girlfriend made it be known that she actually wanted to like essentially get a train ran on her. He didn't use that exact word, but they wanted to like fool around with all of the male cousins.
Okay, so
excluding his brother. So they went to the back of the house and they did whatever they wanted with her until the sun rose. She stayed in the back of the house while the boys left. They cooked her dinner and they brought her nice, warm, hot towels to clean her off. And when they went back to present her breakfast and to just like check in on her, her boyfriend and their cousin was like licking up the sloppy seconds off of her body. That one will forever be my favorite story.
You know what? I'm not sure I'm glad I heard that or not. I got to think about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Some honorable mentions are fucking in like what's essentially a pond behind an empty house that's up for sale. So this girl, her dad is a real estate agent and she has keys and access to all of the properties that he's showing. And she had a fuck buddy in college. And so they would go around to these homes when her dad or his business partner weren't there. And they would essentially break in, even though they had keys, and just do whatever they wanted. This time they ended up doing it in the backyard amongst like farm animals and pretty much got attacked by turkeys, which if you've ever been attacked by a turkey, no. Super scary.
I can only.
Yeah. That story ended with her verifying to us that she did not get Lyme disease, but she did have her pussy and ass filled with like a bunch of ticks.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Oh, wow.
That sounds something you can cure yourself. Mm-hmm. Oh God! You got to tell a doctor about that. I don't know. So what was your expectations and like how did that? What did you imagine? Did you have something in mind? Did you have something to imagine? And then like what sort of what was the result?
I guess I wanted so bad to go in with no expectations of anything. If it was going to flop, it was going to flop. And I didn't like want to hurt my own feelings for like, starting a project that flopped. I think the reality was that it landed right in the middle because it was either no one was going to call or a lot of people were going to call. And the reality is that like we pretty much landed with 50 calls.
Yeah.
With 50 viable stories that we could include in the installation. And I think that's pretty good for like 2 weeks of flyers being on random walls and like us begging. I don't know about us, but me begging all my friends to call
in. I did
in.
Too. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And
we didn't even like, we printed 250 posters. I bet you we put up 60.
Yeah, we put up like 60.
No, that's I
it.
Mean,
so, you know what I mean? Yeah. And they were, so, and it's not
we
like
kicked
this.
Kicked out of bars.
Yeah.
I bet you did.
No, yeah, we definitely did. Kicked out of bars 3 times in one
day.
Night,
yeah.
Which was legendary. It never happened to me before, but for essentially trying to get people to call in and like giving them the flyers, they're like, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
That's literally this Irish dude who works at Tom and Jerry's. I forget his name, but shout out to him.
We're still banned. Yeah, we're still banned.
part of your mission is to harass the public. I get it.
In a nice way.
Yeah, in a nice way.
Yeah. They're nice boys.
And yeah, no, I think. Right. I've had this horrible cough for a while now, but I spoke too much. Then I think, big part of it for me was like, expectations wise, like I think one of our sort of mentors was like, don't do spring break, it'll set your career back 5 years. And I was like, what fucking career do we have? You know
who
what
said
I mean
that?
I don't want to
no names on that
because
I
this
mean,
is
a, I'm just
yeah
explain,
no, no, yeah but this no, person this person genuinely
bullshit.
Yeah
that's
she
bullshit.
Genuinely cares about us and she was giving us good advice from her perspective. And honestly, I was like pissed when I first heard it, but then I was like, oh wait, she gives a fuck. You know what I mean? She wouldn't have said it if she doesn't give a fuck. And then like, so I was like, that's how I took it. And then, but I was basically just like, yeah, what fucking career do we have right now? You know? And so I was like, and literally anything, you know, because we had just talked about forming the collective like 2 days before we get the opportunity to do this show. And so we're just like, let's fucking go, you know? So we get the opportunity. We see the space. We come up with the idea. We're going. I'm working like 3 jobs. Everybody else is working a bunch of jobs too. And like taking time off to do this, putting a lot of money into it with really no, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like I was hoping to get another show. Like that was that's the biggest thing. Like as long as we get something else to do, then we're golden. And then, you know, so we're coming up with these ideas and I start to feel like, oh wow, this is a good idea and this is a really good group. We enjoy working together. And then I was like, I met this guy who runs the Nolita Dirtbag like Instagram account. And I hit him up and I was like, hey, can we just talk like Instagram strategy? Cause he's got like 100,000 followers and we had 15 at the time. And I was like, so, you know, how do we build up a public following? And we had this great meeting and at the end of it, you know, I'm like, thank you so much. I love what you do. And he's like, I'm so stoked on this project. Let me know what you need. And we were putting together a press list for the fair. The fair asks you to send in press.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent in a couple of people that I know, but they weren't going to come anyway. Mm-hmm. But you just got to put them on the list for the fair. And then, so I asked him, he was like, do you need anything from me? And I was like, I need press people if you have them. And then he was like, okay, I'll send you some names. And then he was like, you know, it would be fucking great if the New York Post called it, if the New York Post covered this. And I was like, oh my God, that would be amazing. Like, and then he was like, you should just like put a laptop in front of the Post's headquarters that says like Hunter Biden on it. And then like, and it's just all of our stuff. And we were joking. We were like, oh, that would be funny. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then we put up the posters, and like a couple of days before the install, I get a call from the curator, Caroline Weinstock, and she's like, the Post just texted me.
Mm.
And I was like, no fucking way. Let's go. Let's go. And so then I texted the guy from Nolita Dirtbag. I texted him back immediately. I was like, you won't believe this, the Post. Anyway. And then so a couple days later, like, they reach out to us. They come to the fair. They write an article about it. It makes it into print on page 3. And we were like, and so I mean, honestly, like, expectations exceeded. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Exceeded.
No, it's a great story, and it's on their Instagram. Well, I'll post it. It really captured what you guys were up to, and it was a really interesting idea. Well deserved press.
Thank you.
What about being in the space? Like, you had I saw it. There were people. So people came in. People who were at the fair came in and sat down. They'd pick up a phone, and there were like 8 different phones for sale for $800. You sold a bunch, and people would just pick up and listen. So what was that experience of being in the booth and watching people? Like, what was that like?
It was cool, but it totally wouldn't have worked if we weren't there ourselves and kind of like inviting people to pick up phones.
Mm-hmm.
When we were setting up, we were pretty much the last booth to get there and to set up on Sunday. And we realized that like people were like stealing our materials from our booth because no one thought that it was actually part of the fair. They thought it was just remnants from the office, which is totally what we were going for. Like, we nailed the aesthetic of the cubicles so much that other booths were stealing our materials and our Post-it notes and our pens and our pen cup holders, and pretty much saying like, this doesn't look like it's going to be anything, which, I mean, really, we proved them wrong. Yeah. But the same way with the audience, even though we were right next to like pretty 2 high traffic hallways right in the middle from the right of the elevator, people would walk right by us. Mm-hmm. And so at some point, like, we're both pretty friendly people.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I love talking to strangers. And I was like, well, if we're going to be here, I'm just going to tell people they have a call waiting for them and hand them the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I did. And that's what we did for like.
Smart.
I picked it up from you.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw you doing it.
That's
and I was
really
like,
smart. Yeah.
We did that for like 7 hours. And, you know, the whole time we were secretly drinking and like getting more friendly and just, you know, having a really good time.
I could tell.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, and people really gravitated towards that. They said that no one else in the fair was really like inviting them to. I mean, it's art, so you're not really. You know, that's art world etiquette. You're not supposed to touch the art, but in this case, that was, you know.
Well, it was a performance.
Was
it wasn't just, it had a whole lot of different elements. It didn't fit into a category, which is one of the things I personally love.
Yeah. I think it was also like, it's funny too, because like the script really wrote itself. We had no plan to do that. And then Seth, I mean, we kind of like all showed up wearing like dingy, like 70s business attire.
Mm-hmm.
And then Seth, people are walking by, and then I'm like, Seth, should I write Post-it notes that say like, pick up the phone? And then we did that. Didn't work. Nobody picked it up. And then Seth starts doing this like, hello, hi love, there's a call waiting for you, someone on the line. And then people would, and then he'd, you know, hand them this phone. And then some people would be like, oh, no, I don't want to take the call. You know, and then they'd walk away and then he'd be like, sorry, they're busy. And just like, and then put the phone down. And then I started doing the same thing. I just picked it up from Seth. And then it became like a performance. But we hadn't really intended for there to be a performative aspect of it, but it like I said, the script just wrote itself, and then people started having a lot of fun with it. Like, I saw someone post on Instagram, they were like, I love this exhibit, and I love the way that I was approached to, like, to actually sit down and talk and listen to the phones. And then by the end of it, like, Seth's like Seth's like talking. Yeah, he's like, so we had a break room, right? We had a break room, like a broken coffee pot and some t-shirts, but it's like disgusting. It looks like you should get a hand job in there. Mm-hmm. And so Seth's like, we're inviting people like to listen to the phones, and then, you know, they pick it up and they listen, and it was really fun because like you see people like realize what it is, and then they just crack a smile, and then they, you know, they listen, and then they take a seat and they listen for a little bit longer, and then they come up to us and they ask us, you know, what's going on, and we tell them all about it. And then we're like, you know, you can leave. We're still taking submissions. By the way, we're still taking submissions to this day. Yeah. Seth, what's a phone number?
So our phone number is 646-572-6998.
So call in and leave your fuck story.
There you go.
And then, so we were telling people at the fair this, right? And then Seth goes like, if you want, you can have the privacy of our break room to leave, to leave your story, or leave a load on my chest.
That's excellent.
I was like, oh, let's go. Like, it just kept getting like,
I love how it like evolved, how the artwork like happened in real time and got created in real time, and the energy, and how were like the people who came through, how did people react? Were they shocked? Were they happy? Were they surprised? Were they like, what happened there?
Most were surprised. I think the response was generally positive, especially from the other artists at the fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had like, I mean, by and large, it was positive. We had a handful of people that were like, we hate this. This isn't art. And we were like, okay, have a good
great
day.
Thank you. Thank you. Like, there was this old, there was these like, I mean, just to call
old.
Yeah.
Old people.
No, but
like me.
A lot of older people.
I don't want to hang out with them either.
But a lot of older people came in and like, you know, they loved it, you know? And like, I had this, this lady, must have been 65. Didn't even say anything to me. Like, we didn't have to approach her at all. She comes in through the back. She picks up the back phone. She listens to it for 15 minutes. Then she walks up, picks up another one, listens to it for 15 minutes, picks up another one, listens to it for 15 minutes. She's there for a long time. And then she just walks by and waves. Didn't even say anything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, it's not about the age. There's prudes of all ages. But there's like, it was a group of like older ladies who came in after we had the Post article. And they were like, oh, I read about this. And I was like, okay, do you want to listen? You want to take a call? And they were like, no, I think this is a horrible idea. It's disgusting. But then they didn't leave.
Yeah.
They took a seat at one of our chairs for like 5 minutes. I don't know.
You got to watch those old people. I'm telling you, they say one thing, but you know, they're thinking something else.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
People are so weird about sex. Still, well, your generation's doing better, but I don't know.
No, I think our generation is filled with incels.
And yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other problem. Mm-hmm. It's kind of normal. Sex is just normal, like eating, taking a shit.
Yeah.
We got to like own that. That's that's what we got to own. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I think is really interesting that I want to hear more about is I love the idea how you guys, first of all, collaborating, getting a group together is one of the things that I think any artist finds impossible. And I love how you guys came together so quickly and how you came up with such an interesting idea together and all that stuff. And I heard you guys say that you're planning on doing more work together. But so tell us about how you guys all came together. I know it's through O'Flattery's. Flattery's is the ultimate, like, radical hipster, whatever, gallery in the Lower East Side. If you don't know, look it up, you fucking assholes. You got to get cultured.
Yeah, you got to let them know.
Very important. But anyway, that's how they met. I know that part. So, but I want to hear, like, the dynamics about how you came together and how you guys all work together and who's in charge and who's not in charge, all that stuff. So tell me, start from the beginning. Go ahead. Who wants to start? Seth, you go ahead.
Okay.
You've got the most organized mind of anyone I've ever met, maybe.
Well, that's the thing, though. I wouldn't say anyone.
Do you think so? Do you,
absolutely.
He's really, like, organized,
he's a fucking operator, dude.
I know. Don't you want him running your life?
Thank you.
I do. I want him running my life.
I'm going to add that.
Deborah, I heard, can I say that? Deborah Solomon. Yes. I heard he's working for the critic, art critic, one of the most important art critics in America, the world, maybe, Deborah Solomon. She got him first.
Oh, she's a sweetie pie. I love her.
Shout out, Deborah. So go ahead. You explain how you guys all got together.
So we all got together pretty much, I'm going to say, we were all drunk after work. You know, like
after work at
O'Flaherty's, which really the exhibition was a cafe / restaurant instead of an art gallery. So really we were just service workers.
Yeah.
And if you've worked in the service industry, you know how tiring it can be and how much you want to drink afterwards. And there was just like no way that we were going to finish a shift without getting completely blasted and going from party to party. Essentially, that's what we did. We still can't figure out exactly who came up with the idea to do the phone sex hotline. We all threw in ideas like out loud to each other and then sort of landed there. Especially, it solidified when Carolyn Weinstock showed us the space.
The curator.
And, yeah, when the curator showed us the space, that really solidified the idea and in what it would be. But it's a completely horizontal organization. There's nobody who's in charge. Patrick, me, Avon, and Devin, I would say, are really the people who put the most time into it as of now, just because we've had that time to put into it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to read off the list. Of
I love
people
that.
In the group
to
give them some credit.
I love that.
And so shout out to, obviously, Patrick Bailey, Theo Belchi, Carlos Rodriguez, Anise Morve, Avon Packett, Devin Cronin, Angus Moore, and myself, Seth Cerate. There is no leader, and the chips fall where they may, completely in terms of like what our expertise is on. Like Theo and myself were really like audiovisual people. So we did the promo videos and like the audio editing and stuff like that. Patrick has obviously been in the art world and was our connection to the show and like just really like a motivator and like getting everybody together constantly and like getting us to our headquarters, which is Antler Bar. Oh, wait, maybe I should have said
that. Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Now you know.
Party in Antler Bar.
Yeah.
So, okay. I don't even know where that is.
Yeah.
And Devin designed the flyer.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, Avon is really a real administrator.
Like, she has
everything down packed.
She's a heavy.
Google Docs.
She's a heavy.
The drive. Even Caroline, the curator, who doesn't really want to be a part of the group.
But she did. I mean, she brought everything together, though.
Yeah.
You know,
this,
none of this would have happened without her.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Carlos designed the
Carlos designed the t-shirts
and like has been the most help, like as a PA, essentially, like setting up and shutting down and just always showing up. And so, like, everybody really deserves a lot of credit for the work that they put in.
It sounds like a very rare, moment where people really put their egos, a rare group of people putting, creative people putting their egos aside for the group. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that really possible?
It's a challenge all the time, but I think one of the funnest things about working at O'Flaherty's was like, so the cafe was illegal. Like it was advertised in Page Six as being an illegal restaurant.
Right.
So we were asking to get shut down. I think that the only thing that we wanted more was to actually get shut down by the cops so we could make the front page instead of Page Six. But we got shut down by like the community board. Right. And so, you know, Jamian is like freaking out. Like, what are we going to do?
Artist.
Yeah. Jamian and Billy are the two artists who.
How do you say her name?
She's Jamian really well Giuliano Villani.
She's
amazing. Yeah, she's amazing. And Billy Grant is the other artist that kind of runs O'Flaherty's together with Rory, Rory who runs the space. And then, anyway, so we're all there. It's like the 10 of us. We're working service for the show, and Jamie and Billy and Rory, and we're freaking out because we don't know what to do, and we're just shouting out ideas, like everyone's just, oh, I got this idea. Let's do this. Let's do a confession booth. Let's do a call center. Let's do a kiddie pool filled with sand and like four Barbies. Let's, you know, just Sperm bank. That was an idea. We still that's one we still want to do. We really want to do that one. But then there's and so we're just, you know, spitting out ideas. And something that I really liked about it was that, like, Jamian would just be like, "No, that's a bad idea. Like, that's a bad idea." But and then none of us took it personally. I mean, at first I was like, "Oh, you know, does she think I'm dumb or something like that?" And then I was like, "No, dude, it's like it's professional. This is business. Like, we're coming up with an idea together now, you know." And so it doesn't matter if you say it's a bad idea. It doesn't matter if you say that. And like, that was the ethos that I think we wanted to keep in
trust.
In absolutely,
that's what you're talking about, really, isn't it? It's it's mutual trust and mutual respect, which is a cornerstone of any good collaboration. Yeah. You guys managed to get that all together. Do you think that part of the reason that you guys were able to, I mean, you mobilized so quickly, do you think that's partly because you started out working together? So that, you know, I think that must have had like a lot to do with it, because you knew it's like your relationships developed through helping each other through, you know, an illegal cafe, right?
Servers trauma bond, like, 1,000% quicker than any other industry, I would
completely
say.
Agree.
Yeah.
Bonds, and because it's a social job.
Yeah.
And the personality that it takes to be a server is probably, you know, ripe for collaboration. Because so it's kind of, it's a little bit magic, isn't it? Yeah. You guys appreciate that, right?
Yes.
How lucky it is.
Yes.
How fortunate it is.
I mean, I've been here for 5 years looking for this, like waiting, you know, and so
no, it's very rare, really.
When I saw it happen, it was the
same. So, Patrick, you're a very, I'm going to say, very accomplished artist. You know, he's got it going on. He went to Columbia. Okay, he's got the MA from Columbia. He went to, Skowhegan. He's got that. So, you know what I'm saying, guys? He's got it going on. So you're the artist, and Seth is also a journalist and writer, and we're all making money as servers or whatever,
because
we want to live here. What are the backgrounds of the other people? I mean, I find it really interesting that you have diverse backgrounds. You're not all like in the, because you're not all caught up with, and Patrick, you understand this, the whole thing of the art, the grind of the art world, absolutely, all the like bells and whistles and stuff that goes around with that. So you're not really immersed in that, which is a real benefit.
Yeah.
In this case, but so what are your other collaborators doing?
There's a good amount of like art school dropouts, but I would say the one thing that ties us all together is that we're really hungry, really driven.
Yeah,
like we're all really driven people, and like when you see that end goal or like the finish line, we're like, we're gonna get to that as soon as possible, in the most efficient way possible, not like a messy way, a really calculated.
Yeah.
Like, let's get this done and let's make some cool stuff together.
Yeah.
But it's like when we were having our conversation before, it's funny. We're all still getting to know each other. So I don't know the best way to answer that
question. Because you don't even know what their thing is.
Yeah, I know.
Denise just moved here from California. Uh-huh. She just graduated with her bachelor's.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with Theo.
Just moved back from the city. She's a city kid, born and raised, third generation Irish immigrant.
She does like tattoos and drawings and stuff.
You know what I love about this, guys, is that, and I'm talking to you guys listening in your wherever you are, your hovels. I really love how they don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck about each other's credentials. You know that? Because they know they all have the goods.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a really, really good way to know that you're going to be working with good people, by actually working with them and not like just fucking looking at like that they went to Skowhegan. Who fucking cares?
Exactly. I mean, there's like, and you know, some of us are like, Angus, you know, didn't go to college, just moved to the city and works at an art store. And like, I was, because I did do a master's degree. And like,
yeah.
I feel like I had to be invited to the city by an elite institution. And then I look at Angus and I'm like, the fucking balls on that kid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm so jealous. You know, I'm like envious of like, I'm like, this kid is going places because he had the fucking gumption to do this without a guarantee and with no backing. And I'm like, so I look at him and I'm like, I respect the fuck out of you.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? And and you know, it's the same thing with Carlos. He's 21. Also, he just moved to the city from Puerto Rico. He's trying to make it work. He wants to, he wants to work in fashion. And like, you know, it's, yeah, I just have
got
so much.
A lot of really self-motivated people. But I also think, and I'm no expert on Flattery's or Julie, I can't say her name, but the person in charge of it, the people in charge of it. But I can't, I'm not going to get it right. So, but I do think that whatever that energy is at O'Flattery's and the cafe and all that, I think that is also part of the secret sauce.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That got you guys all in there.
Absolutely.
So this is, so you must be so excited about moving. So, okay, so you guys, how long did you know each other? Just a month before you did this?
Pretty much.
Pretty much a month, yeah. We met in May.
Uh-huh.
That was like a one-off situation, and then...
That's just me and Seth.
No, yeah, no, but I mean as a group.
How, as a group, yeah, a month.
A month, okay. So the show, guys, just
like
was
to
last...
the day.
To the day, yeah. The opening was the... Open
Thursday.
Yeah, the opening was a Thursday, the first Thursday in August. Mm-hmm. So at the O'Flaherty's opening. Yeah.
Right. And this spring break show that we're discussing right now was just ended this past Monday, guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. This past Monday. So you guys haven't known each other very long. So what are your plans moving forward? Do you have plans? Have you talked? You had a meeting since then? What's going on? What's current? What's the
today's,
future?
Today's the meeting first day. Meeting.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah. We definitely have plans. The plan, like.
You should come.
Yeah, you should come if you
really?
Want.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Where? Oh,
Antler.
Okay.
At Antler, yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll stop by.
We're opening a space in 147 Prince Street as Yemen Spa Global Headquarters. We're going to do shows there, some of our own work, like if we haven't weird, like we might do the sperm bank there. Mm-hmm. We're talking about filming a game show called What's in Her Hole. We might film that there.
Don't steal that, you fucking asshole listeners. Yeah. I'm sorry. I love you guys.
And then we're talking about, you know, we have a bunch of ideas. So like
you do.
The idea is for like the next 2 years to start to do shows occasionally in our space, also to curate other artists and work in there, and we sell it as a gallery, try and make money, try and sell our own stuff, try and make money, and then apply for grants, open calls, residencies, fairs, anything. And then, you know, the nice thing about being a collective is if two people are really stoked on one idea, then they can splinter off, write a book for the idea, propose it, go do it, execute it. And if we're making any money as a group, then we can fund that splinter project while we're working on a show for the space.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, build up press, build up notoriety, build up a collector base, start selling our work, and then get into a bigger space. Yeah, get into a bigger space somewhere either met in like downtown or Bushwick or something like that, where we can have like a proper gallery. And then, you know, that's the two year trajectory. Hopefully by the end of it, we're seeing enough income to put more time into this ourselves, pay ourselves from this project so that we can do it, you know, for as long as possible. And then, yeah, we want to do, I mean, we called ourselves Yeah Man Spa Global because we thought it was stupid and funny. It's named, but like the name comes from a hand job spot above the bar that we meet at called Yeah Man Spa. And then we just added global to it because it was funny. And we're kind of pursuing this idea of like an anonymous corporation is the artist. Like we are not, I think that's part of the reason what we were talking about with ego earlier is like, it's not,
Right.
It's not anyone's project. It's mm-hmm. not even like our project. It's mm-hmm. the corporation's mm-hmm. project.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the, yeah. And so like, yeah, we're just trying to, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
We're out here trying to make money. Yeah.
Well,
it's like,
well, I will say I am impressed by you young people's ambition and focus. It is impressive, I have to say. Yeah, and also having gone through, you know, an experience together and having like a really good outcome and plans for the future. So where do you have this space? I want to hear about how you kids get a space.
Well, it's in downtown Brooklyn and...
Yeah. Oh, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
No, well, it would be more passive.
Does it involve anyway. Money that you didn't? We got to know about the transparency, the finances. Really,
Patrick is graciously loaning us his own personal studio space and letting Yeah Man Spa Global run out of it until we have the funds to do something.
Okay, because you're a practicing artist. Yeah, yeah. You have a studio.
I have a studio right. anyway.
Okay, and we'll go with that. I just want to...
Yeah, I was moving studios. Like, all of this shit happens all at once. I mean, that's how life goes, I guess. But so I was moving studios anyway, and I had just signed a lease on a really nice space in... downtown Brooklyn, which is strange. I mean, you know, you don't hear of studios off the J Street Metro Tech. So I just signed this space and I was thinking about it, and I had been touring a lot of much bigger spaces that I couldn't afford on my own mm-hmm. with the idea that I would, like, you know, contact some of my coworkers from Finelli's, because mm-hmm. everyone that works in restaurants is an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was thinking like, oh, maybe I'll get a studio with a couple of them and then we'll build it out and we'll have like a common area where we can put on shows and stuff like that. And then, you know, that fell through. I end up signing a lease on a space that I can afford by myself. And we got it. And then we start talking as this group. And then I thought back to the idea to do a collective space with my coworkers, right? And I was like, well, I don't have anything in there right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And right. so, and I haven't set it up. It's not dirty. I was like, we could do shows there. You know, we could do shows there. We can, that's where we met up to do all the screen printing for the t-shirts for mm-hmm. this show mm-hmm. and where we built all the phones and stuff like that. So mm-hmm.
We christened it.
Yeah.
Like 2 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so literally the first thing that we did it's not even my studio. It's Yeah Man Spa Global headquarters. And then the first thing that happened was Devin helped me move in from the group. Like, cause I do have a lot of shit. Like, I, you know, mm-hmm. I've got.
Yeah.
Like,
probably, you're an artist.
Yeah. I got like 40 paintings and a table saw and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, so we moved all of my stuff in from the old space, but we kind of just pushed it into a corner and we set up a workstation. And then the next day, the whole crew comes over and we christen the studio, you know, building all the stuff, making the show come together. So that's how we have a space.
There you go. Okay. I just have to know if there's like, because, you know, we don't want to present any unrealistic, you know how it is, like, the art world filled with like, rich people funding things and stuff like that. I didn't think it was, but I want you, listen, here's what
I mean.
We
would love to have some rich people funding some shit. So.
I know you would. Yeah. I know you would. Who would?
Hit us up.
But I want you guys there in your hovels to know that like, this is a great example of how people can come together on their own initiative without having anybody telling them what to do, handing them money, handing them shit, training them and all that shit. And look what you can do. Look what you can do if you want to do it bad enough. Okay. Okay. This is what I'm saying, guys. So that is pretty awesome. You know, while you guys were talking, I was thinking about this other, collective that I had some experience with quite a while ago. I think maybe 10 years. When were they around? Probably in the teens. And I was just wondering if you had heard of them or used them for reference. The Bruce High Quality Foundation?
Yeah, I know a little bit about them.
Yeah?
But I don't know a whole lot, to be totally fair with you.
That was an interesting group.
Yeah, this is where the art history education comes
in. You don't need to know about them.
Yeah,
it's just that was a group that stood out in my mind that lasted for a while.
There's the Bernadette Corporation, that's like, I think that's two artists that run a conceptual art gallery named the Bernadette Corporation. But then they have like their own practices and they run, like, they do their own stuff, but then they come together and produce work as the Bernadette Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
I mean, there are other ones. These guys, had a university and they taught classes.
Yes, I'm familiar with the university.
Stuff like that. They did have backing. They did have backing. It was a different, I got a different vibe from them. Or, I have a different feeling about them. But
There's also
it's interesting. The group dynamic thing is quite interesting. And like I said before, I think it's different here because I think generally in art collaborations or collectives, people usually come together from we went to art school together or some art background. But what I think what's great and what I'm hopeful about with you guys is that you came from working a really tough job, service job together.
Yeah.
So I love that about you guys. I really do.
Yeah.
I support that.
I think that's one of the most essential things. Like Avon and I were talking one day, I think just at Antler probably. And then maybe before one of the Thursday meetings. And she said I don't know any of this fucking shit. Right. And I was like, that's what we need. Yeah, I was because
exactly.
I mean, I have the I know.
Yeah,
I know this
you've
stuff.
Got, yeah,
and
you've got a master's
but if I was just doing this by myself, it'd be making terrible academic conceptual art about art or other art pieces. And what's nice about this is that we have all of these ideas, and if it's not interesting to all of us, then we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so what's really nice about that is that it is interesting to people because we're approaching it as people, not as artists.
Right. And so more people, I think that's why your project is so accessible to the general public because, and that's something that I personally feel strongly about as far as art. I think we need to have more art that's accessible to the general public. We're making art for the culture and we're not making art for artists.
Right. Right.
And so that is something I think with that kind of makeup in your group, you're definitely going to have art that people are going to get and relate to. And I think that is, it's such a, great for everybody. So let's see. So I have to get some dirt. Did you guys have any arguments? Come on, tell me something that some obstacle or something. There's got to be something. Did you? Okay, I'm going to ask you personally. How's this? So Seth, mm-hmm. on a personal, just personally to you, was there any point where anything that made you have second thoughts? Did it make you feel insecure, like you weren't really up to the task or you were being criticized? Or is there anything that you, any dirt you can give us on your own personal head?
Work-wise, with the group, no. I mean, I'm really not an insecure person.
You don't seem like
it. I know myself and I know my abilities. And
have a great family.
Yeah, I have a great family and a great support system. So I could really tell anybody to fuck off and keep going on with my life. It's no issue. However, I will say that there were some juicy, juicy romantic stuff.
I'm wondering about that.
Yeah.
I
had the biggest crush on Patrick when he came out to my birthday party.
Oh,
right?
Really?
And, he pretty much hired me to work at O'Flaherty's that first night. And I only worked there for one night when I met everybody. And so, well, pretty much the entire time I was there, I was probably drunk. I was like on an extended birthday bender and like had a total boy boner for Patrick. Mm-hmm. Like that didn't work out, obviously. But
other things.
Why not? Why didn't it work out, Patrick? Are you hetero?
More hetero.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. Yeah,
if you're gonna work together, you don't want to shit where you.
And
eat.
Also,
no, I mean, well, there was too much shitting where we ate, and
so were
now,
people hooking up.
There was way too much shitting, and we gotta reel that back.
Did you have any orgies? Or what happened?
Oh, there was high orgy.
I was actively planning an orgy.
Yeah, like, yeah, he was.
It didn't work out just because we had to dedicate the time to like actually doing the work.
Yeah,
I mean, you worked instead of having sex. Yeah. Look at that dedication.
There was sex. Sex was had.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. So was it a group? Was it a group thing? Was there any gossip? Were there any fights or did anybody? Oh, yeah. Did you know about? Like, was it transparent? Were people hooking up in secret or how did it go?
Like D, all of the above. Pretty much.
Yeah. Pretty much all of the above. Yeah.
And you know, some of those stories are actually part of the first edition of the sculpture. And I'm just going to plug in our next project, which is Spring Break LA. We got approached to do that.
Oh, wonderful.
It's going to happen in February and we're going to release another round of sculptures with new fuck stories.
Oh, wonderful.
So, if there's anyone listening who lives in LA and would like to help us paste new flyers and get some callers from LA for that edition of Fuck Stories / Sex Stories Anonymous, like we'd be more than thrilled.
Oh, wonderful. We have to include that in the notes of the episode because it's ongoing. And I did a Spring Break LA last year. I curated a show there.
Oh, nice.
Joe Forte, shout out, Joe. Great artist. And, it's great fair. It's a whole different vibe. Mm-hmm. And it was a great experience. And LA was, you know, showing art in LA. And I bet they'll love it there. They're really like a media, you know, they're everybody's so like media savvy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be really. So you have that to you're planning that.
Yeah.
Wow.
We don't know for sure on it. It's still TBD, but we're kind of thinking.
It's on the table.
On the table.
Yeah. On the table. Or you might do something else, you mean?
No, we just
or you
like
might not do it or you don't know.
Yeah, we
you're planning. Yeah, yeah, you only known each other a month.
Yeah. And then
Did Patrick, when you met everybody, did they turn out like you did anybody surprise you as a personality?
I think everyone surprised me.
Really? Like in what way? Tell me some of the things that you found out that you didn't expect.
I don't know. Like I for instance with Seth, like I, you know, met him on his birthday. And then we like made out at the bar and then I was like, I'm pretty straight though. And then he was like, it doesn't mean I'm not gonna stop trying. And then I called him back. Like we immediately got along really well. Mm-hmm. And then called him. Did we even hang out between that and O'Flaherty's starting? I think that was like a week.
To Pop Music Fever Dream show. That's a plug.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Pop Music Fever Dream. Yeah. We love Pop Music Fever
what
Dream.
What is that?
It's a band. Yeah. It's a really great band. Yeah. It's a really great band.
Here in Brooklyn. Yeah. Okay. Be your next guest.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're really cool.
Okay. And then Pop Music
Fever Dream.
Fever Dream. Okay.
And then, we'd only hung out like twice. And then, I called you to do kitchen stuff at O'Flaherty's because we didn't really know how the opening would go.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it could have been 30 people or it could have been 12,000. You know what I mean? So I was like, I need someone that I can count on to help me in the kitchen. So I called Angus to be my a line cook with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I called Seth to do the bar and expediting because, I mean, you know, he worked at Finelli's. I was like, he can do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the volume is, as long as I have my crew in the back, like, we're going to get through this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and then Seth was like, oh, I'm down. Let's do it. And then, you know, we were hanging out, like, maybe a couple days after the opening or something. We went to another Pop Music Fever Dream show in Brooklyn, and I was like, in Thompson Square Park, and we got a beer before I had to go to work afterwards, and that was the first time we like really kind of chatted person to person about stuff. And you know, we have all this shit in common, like weird, you know, our sort of politics line up, our spirituality lines up, and I was like, honestly, dude, I feel like we didn't become friends. I feel like we found each other.
Wow, that's and like, beautiful. You know, so wow. That's,
yeah.
Wow. And
so like the, so I was like, you know, that's a surprise, you know? And yeah. I think that's what makes people so interesting, is that like you think you know them and then, you know?
And I just want to tell you guys, listening, is that, like on a most superficial level, you wouldn't necessarily put them together. Like, the research, you know, the research that I did on both of them, and just, you just wouldn't necessarily expect that kind of direct connection. And I think it's awesome that you guys are evolved as such young people to be able to understand that about yourselves and be open to that. And I actually really love that Patrick put that out there right here. Like you said that on air. I mean, you said that.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. Wow. Kids are so cool. So we've got 3 minutes left. Mm-hmm. So let's make sure that we get all the information that how people can... What you have for sale? You have T-shirts. How much are the T-shirts? Are amazing. How much are the T-shirts?
$40.
Good deal. It's a really like complex silk screen.
Oh, these are new.
This is something that we just ran because I had a different thing. The T-shirts that we have for sale they're pretty simple. It just says the phone number and
red. They're much more mysterious.
Yes.
That these are much more explicit. So, go ahead. Give us all the information, all the Instagram handle, whatever. Go ahead.
Be sure to follow us at Yeah Man Spa Global on Instagram, and Yeah is spelled YEA. There's no H. Just to ascertain that y'all get that right. And buy some shirts. We still have posters.
How
much are the posters?
The posters are $250. It's an edition of 10.
And it's edition of 10, edition, only 10. That's pretty good. How edition big are they? 10,
they are, the screen dimensions are 16 by 20.
Okay, but
they're
big.
They're on paper that's 26 inches by, I want to say, 20.
Okay, that's something a deal.
Like that. Nice. They're hand printed screen. They're like handmade screen prints. It's like, it's archival stuff.
Yeah. They're art. Like they're cotton rag. Art prints. They're not printed out on a fucking printer. Yeah,
but the t-shirts are 40.
Hand printed.
Also hand printed. And we've
signed.
Got.
Signed?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the phones from the show are an edition sculpture. We've got a few of them remaining as well. Those are 800.
And do the phones come with the recordings?
They do.
Yes, they sure do. Yeah.
And okay, and that's $800.
Yeah.
And it's probably I'm gonna say, guys, this is probably a good deal because they've only been around for a couple of months, and when they really get going, the value you get in now, $800, you can sell that for like $30,000 in a year or two, totally. Right?
Like 1,000.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank
you. No, I'm saying to you, to them. Are you kidding? I just hooked everybody up with the best art deal ever. So anyway, but thank you. You guys are like, I'm so excited that you were, you guys are awesome. I'm very excited about what you're doing. And I just want to say thanks again for listening. Go check us out at radiofreebrooklyn.org. I'm Dr. Lisa. Dr. Lisa gives a shit. I'm here live every Thursday, 2 to 3. I have over 300 episodes on the archive, on the site. And you know what? Have a great fucking day.
Have a great fucking day.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.